broken heart.
The most exciting thing you can start a show with.
Coming live from the 2SER studio.
This is a great show.
Across the park, 2SER.
And just go for a swim, but like deep.
Come on in, meatballs.
Testicles.
Pointy at the doggy.
Gummy normal.
Which part of that was
confusing? I've got a real problem with that. Bloody.
Never walk alone.
I can stand the prick.
Oh, bloody bird.
Let's not do this.
Oh, the corner injuries. You got a corner injury.
Hello and welcome to Across the Park, the only show on 2SER that is recorded in silence. Joel Kasem is my name, and I don't think you need any more information, so I'll move on to the following people. First up is a woman who sprayed her water pistol at the Olympic torch. It's Gabby Morris.
Don't know the reference there, but I will take it. Hello, hello.
I think it was in Tokyo. A lady, like, you know, the Olympic torch is running along.
Yeah, yeah.
And this lady who's got like a little water pistol just sort of steps out and starts squirting at the torch.
That is something funny. I would definitely do.
That's about as terrorist as terror in Japan can get.
Well, that's the thing. Like they have obviously a few people running with them and a couple of guards and stuff. And all they had was like a little, like a see-through bit of glass that they just held up in front of her face so she couldn't spray anymore. And they went about
I wonder if she just woke up and was like, I'm going to buy a water pistol and I'm going to spray that torch.
Why not? What are you doing today? Amazing. Also, that was about 2 weeks ago, so I'm quite delayed. Also joining us is a man who calls it the blues. It's Mick Rad.
Yes, blues win, even though we lose the third game. But yes, we are singing the blues. I'm bloody happy. Well, you're happy.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy, yes.
Yes, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I lost $20. So.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that. Yeah, losing your money back again.
Oh, yeah, that's a straight swap, isn't it?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, we can get to that shortly. Before we do, also, hi, Rowan.
We always do that.
Hey, everyone. How's it all going?
Our intern is still here, surprisingly, in lockdown.
Yeah.
Got nowhere else to go.
He's just live streaming from the dungeons of 2SER. He still hasn't been let out. Probably safest there, to be honest.
I would like a blanket, though. It's a little bit chilly. So you know, I have one request.
Your blanket comes in summer. How is everyone? Any news?
Guys, I have some news.
Oh, good.
Oh, good. Something.
That's so
COVID-related, hopefully.
No. Well, no. I mean, I've hit some dark places in lockdown. I'm sure we all have a few tantrums here and there. But I've found some reprieve in – so I bought a basketball and I bought some new basketball shoes and I'm dedicating this lockdown to getting good at basketball. That's just what's going to happen. I've given myself some goals. I'm playing basketball every day. I've also bought some table tennis balls and some table tennis bats. Because there's outdoor table tennis courts everywhere, by the way, everyone. You should look them up. It's a great COVID sport, and so is basketball. And I'm now obsessed with basketball. I watched the NBA finals today. Well, the Bucks versus Phoenix. Like, I'm addicted. And it's just getting me through this lockdown, day by day, just shooting hoops, hoop dreams.
Were you like it when you were a kid, Gab? Were you like someone who changed your favorite thing every like few months and your parents were like, oh, okay, we guess we might buy your basketball. Oh, now she's doing ballet. We're buying ballet. Oh, now she's climbing.
No. Like, I've always been into sports and it's like I used to be really obsessed with basketball, but I've just kind of just recent, like, it's the only thing that I can do outside that if someone, like, I can do with one other person legally, but you can also play basketball by yourself and it's still like a relatively fun thing to do by yourself. Like, I hate going for a walk. The thought of going for a run is like, makes me want to vomit. So it is like, I can't go to the beach because I'm 11 kilometers out of the bloody zone. So it's like reconnecting. I mean, yeah, I definitely have like spurts of obsessions. But I'm not going to talk about my childhood on air.
Well, that's amazing because
yeah.
The thing is, people are in lockdown in Sydney. Again, we are a Sydney-based program here on 2SER, and we are in lockdown and possibly for the rest of our lives. We're not sure. So people need some sort of exercise, some sort of things that they can do at home in lockdown. I mean, you can go outside and have a walk, go for a run or whatever you like. Well, not whatever you like. That's pretty much it. You could find Gabby playing table tennis by herself. But what about things you can do at home? There's obviously things like, you know, there's yoga. People can do that.
There's yoga. There's good old yoga.
There's, if you have a housemate, you could play hide and seek. That's a bit of fun.
That is fun.
Yeah.
Look, there are lots of things that you can do inside, but what I'm trying to get at, guys, is there's lots of things that you can do outside. It's perfectly legal. There's a cricket batting cage. Maybe I'll get into cricket now. And I just need a friend that can bowl at me. That's all.
I'll have basketball. To put my hand up. Bowl of basketball at you.
Yes.
Maybe you should need basketball to hit it because, you know, that would be easier to hit.
Yeah.
You combine the sports.
It is. Oh, but imagine. Well,
I made a friend today at the basketball courts who is a six-year-old guy called Raphael, very good at basketball. He's going to meet me at the courts tomorrow and show me some magic tricks. So, you know, we were very COVID safe, just so you know, and it was only the two of us. So it was perfectly legal. But like, not only am I meeting my hoop dreams, but I'm going to become a magician as well by the end of lockdown.
Learn magic in lockdown.
Yeah. Hell
That's
yeah.
A great idea.
You know you're a closet magician, Joel.
I'm not in the closet about it, mate. I'm very happy to talk about how much I enjoy doing magic.
Proud, out and proud. Me too.
Damn straight. Did you say 6 or 60-year-old?
6.
Okay, so yeah, not a sentence you hear often, like a 6-year-old guy. Usually boy is the word you would say.
I think I said 6-year-old boy, didn't I?
You said guy, because that's why I thought you said 60. So a 6-year-old guy and a 6-year-old...
But the day before... The day before, I made a friend and he was 60 and he was playing basketball.
And
lovely gentleman.
Yeah. He's a nice boy.
Anyway, recommend just getting out of the house. Actually, that is the thing that saved me. Just get out because I can't stand looking at my house anymore.
Yeah.
Or so my partner. No, I'm just joking. I love her. She's been making amazing food.
Yeah, all right.
That's it. We're losing it.
Mick or Rowan, any news?
Just trying to stay sane, trying to get out for walks. I've been, unlike Gabby, very slovenly. I ate nachos for dinner last night. I just don't regret it. It was amazing.
Why would you?
Why would you?
No one has ever said they've regretted eating nachos.
Because my wife was like, this isn't a dinner meal. And I'm like,
it's not a dinner meal. I agree.
And I poured more chips into it. It's just like, it's too many chips. You should have layered the chips in the meat. And I'm like, whatever. Put more cheese on it. It's like, this is so unhealthy. And I'm like, yeah.
There is like, I've definitely hit that, like that lockdown mentality where like, whatever, like I'm going to drink 3 beers on Monday night because what else? And yeah, I'm going to have nachos fucking every night because what else?
I agree. There shouldn't be any of these weekday weekend restrictions anymore because you're not seeing anyone any day.
So no. I ordered a burger at 11:30 today.
Yes.
It was so good. Sat in the sun, ate the burger, watched the basketball. It was, and then I played basketball. Like, what a day. Do those little things for yourself. That's all I can say, people. And nachos is definitely not a dinner meal.
I agree. Well, actually, not with the nachos being a meal. That's definitely a meal.
Rowan, do you think nachos is an actual meal or a snack?
Yeah, it's more, I think, borderline on the snack because sometimes, like before lockdown, you would go like out and be like, oh, we're going to have nachos for dinner. Like, that's not going to fill me up, though. No. Like, I'll definitely like snack on it. But yeah, again, what I would do is what Mick does and just keep loading more and more nachos to you know, work with that. But yeah, it wouldn't be like, oh, I'm like a solid nachos as a meal.
No. I also think it's so dangerous when you order nachos and they come to the table and you're out with a group of friends. Like, to me, that's free for all. Like, if you've ordered nachos and you think that's your dinner, it's also my dinner too. Like, you can't not sit at a table with someone. Yeah, it's like, it's free for all. There's no, like, it's like chips.
There's no chance. You and your partner go out to a pub or whatever and you order, Gabby, you order first, you order the steak, and then Rosie orders nachos and you're like, can I just cancel my steak? Thanks. We're obviously sharing dinner tonight. Thank you.
Gabby's one of those people who, when someone else's meal comes out first and they've got chips on the side, she'll start picking the chips off their plate just to have a bit of a nibble. Is that what you
do? I feel like if you're at a pub and there's anywhere there is a hot chip, that is also your hot chip.
Wait, anywhere? Like, not just your table?
Anywhere. Anywhere. Like, hot chips are in the kitchen. That's a communal thing. Like, you have hot chips, that's communal. That's just same with a jug of beer.
Jug, you're right. Jug is the same.
About a pub being like, this is a communal, like, dwelling where, like, you got some nachos and hot chippies around. That's mine too. Thank you very much. It all comes around.
So, yeah. Sport has been a lot, actually. It's been
so much.
Quite a busy week. We're a week away from the Olympics, so that's going to be big as well. But this week we've had, we'll start with tennis because Wimbledon was on. I don't know if anyone missed it.
Oh, no.
If anyone saw it. No, if anyone missed it.
I put my hand.
tennis is last month's sport for Gabby. She was big on tennis, maybe.
No,
loving it. Now,
back to basketball.
Excuse me. Guess what? I'm playing tennis on Sunday at 1 o'clock. There you go.
All right. You are the most sporty out of all of us, so it's fine. Yeah. We totally bow to you.
Okay, we'll start with Ash Barty on the 50th anniversary of Yvonne Goolagong-Cawley's first Wimbledon win. Ash Barty claimed her first Wimbledon title, beating Czech player Carolina
Pliskova.
I remember this name coming up last year, or was it earlier this year? And just thank you. 6-3, 6-7, 6-3. She won all sets. It was amazing. And
did you all watch it?
No.
Yeah, of course. I watched the whole thing. It was amazing.
I watched the whole thing in bed. Rosie was asleep on my shoulder and I was screaming. And then I hysterically cried when she fell to the ground crying. And Rosie. Then when she did it. No, I did. Rosie was rolled over.
Rosie fell off the bed crying.
It was so, like, it was so incredible. It was really quite an incredible match to watch and so emotional. And then she's just such a legend. She's so articulate. It was powerful. Loved it.
Wimbledon is such a big tournament as well. I just love the whole air of Wimbledon. And when Aussies get to the final, and there's not been many, you know, men or women, but it's just such a big moment. And you can just see how much it meant to her. And especially with Yvonne Goolagong being the last woman to do it as well, like Australian woman. It's huge. So good. We've got the Olympics soon, so she'll be heading over there now.
Yeah, and two First Nations women as well. It's an incredible feat. And also that was, you know, what kind of pushed me over the edge, that how she just said, I hope Yvonne's proud. And I was like, oh, my God, she's definitely proud.
And on the last day of NAIDOC week as well.
I know. Incredible.
Wonder better.
Yeah.
Australia hasn't won a singles title at Wimbledon since 2002 when Leighton Hewitt did it. So what's that? We're 19 years ago. So it's just amazing. Like, it was so, again, I didn't watch it because I'm a fool and I was very sleepy. I'd had a couple of drinks and I had to go to sleep, but watching the highlights the next day, just like, it was amazing.
Yeah. And it's crazy to see where England's at. Speaking of COVID, I know it's boring, but like, full stadium, everyone was there, celebrities, the royals, champagne bottles were popping. I don't know if you saw some of the highlights, but they kept interrupting games because people were popping bottles of champagne. And I was just like, oh my God, I wish I was there popping bottles of champagne watching Wimbledon sitting in the sun. It was just looked like such a buzz, such an incredible place to be. So sure. Fun with Tom Cruise.
Dylan Alcott as well.
Yeah.
Second Wimbledon, legend as well. Watched that whole match as well. Not quite as big a crowd, unfortunately, but really great to watch. He was just dominant. He's amazing.
He's so good.
He's going for the Golden Slam, which is the only time you can do a Golden Slam is in the year of the Olympics, and you've got to win all four Grand Slams and the Olympics. So it's huge. I think only one or two people have done it ever.
Okay.
He was thinking that this could be it for his last Wimbledon sort of.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in his acceptance speech, which was interesting. I mean, he really acknowledged that it was a huge feat for his team, family, everyone, for him to get over there, play just with COVID and all of that. So, yeah, it must be especially intense and for getting to that sort of that time and that space, and then going, we just got through a global pandemic and now I'm here and. Could this, be it? But, yeah.
Yeah, it's like Ash has to stay there now. She can't come home and then go to the Olympics. It's all just got to be really, secure and getting over there. She won't be home for a while.
I'm not sure if you saw her mindset coach, but she's got a mindset coach.
Really?
What does that do?
So it's all about training your confidence, your mindset leading up to competitions, during, and he honestly was so articulate and amazing on this ABC interview. And I was like, I made a comment, said, how do I hire him for myself? Because he just talks about how, you can see that her, because she was, there were points where you're like, oh, she's not doing that great. But then you could sort of see how she would switch over something. She would channel some sort of energy and just get through it. But he was talking about expectations, and it was really interesting. And crazy to think these athletes have these huge teams, physios, mindset coach, tennis coach.
But like they say, sport is, majority of it is mental, right? Like you've got to be able to focus and get past those hurdles that you come across as you're playing the sport. And if you can't do that, you can't win. So that's a really important role.
Yeah,
thing totally. To have. And if people don't have that, they probably are, at a disadvantage.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yes, congrats to Ash and Dylan and whoever won the men's. I don't even know. Wasn't Australian, so it doesn't
matter. Djokovic. The Joker.
Italy have been crowned champions of Europe after a nail-biting penalty shootout win over England at Wembley Stadium. This, again, another huge sporting event to happen this week. England got off to a dream start with a goal in the second or third minute?
Second minute, straight away, off the bat. 2 minutes into the game, goal.
Ever. Oh, fastest ever in Euros, was it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent.
In a final.
Okay. On a Friday.
Well, we got up, Rowan, at 5 a.m. We watched the game, right, live. It was very exciting. A full Wembley Stadium. We're talking about England spectators coming out. This is a full Wembley Stadium. Huge buzz, all singing. The reactions, the best part about this is that England obviously wanted to bring it home. They were just talking about it for friggin' weeks. They score the goal in 2 minutes. They're all just delirious, deliriously happy. Think this is it. We're going to win it. Finally, amazing. Even half time, they're all still buzzing. And at half time, they showed all this footage of all these places around England after that goal happened, and just all the beer flying in the air, and everyone's going crazy. It's just a thing in England, which is weird to me, that you would throw your beer, which probably cost you £10 or something, and you're just going to throw it all over everyone. Oh, I'm going to get another one. But I was just so pumped. But then I straight away, as soon as that goal scored, I went on Twitter, in 1996, semi-final against Germany, England scored in the third minute, I think it was, went on to penalties, went on to lose. And I said,
oh, you jinxed it.
And I said that on Twitter, and everyone was like, there is no jinx. No, that's nothing. It doesn't mean anything, blah, blah, blah. And everyone was like, totally. But in the back of their mind, I think all of England were thinking that very thing. And then what happened? Exactly that. He went to penalties. There wasn't a late goal. What was the goal?
68th minute. So, Italy slowly, all momentum were with England the first half. And then slowly, Italy started to get on top. They got all the possession. And then it was just a matter of time until England's defense broke.
And that was the thing. England started really well, but Italy looked really nervous at the start, and then it just switched completely around, and England started looking way nervous because they thought they'd won it. Although I was hoping I could get there, but yeah, it was a really exciting game. But just to have it end in penalties,
it's terrible. It's the worst. Yeah. I hate it.
Thoughts on penalties?
What is the alternative? I always love that idea of people taking players off until someone scores. Like every 2 minutes, you take a player off, until there's so much room on the field that it's, you know, easier to score.
Wait, but had they gone overtime?
They'd done the extra time, 15 minutes each way. So already the game had gone 120 minutes,
right?
2 hours, and then they had the penalty shootout. And everyone's just like,
oh, I hate it. It's the worst. It's just a stupid thing that we've done with soccer. Where I just think it's dumb.
And, of course, we had two substitutions, like with a minute to go in extra time, and these substitutions of Rashford and Sancho were supposed to be big penalty takers, you know, and unfortunately they were given the responsibility of taking penalty kicks when they hadn't played any of the game. So they weren't warm. They hadn't kicked a ball. They were, like, you know, nervous as well. It was just a weird decision from Southgate to bring him in at that point. The funny thing is they actually nearly didn't even get subbed on because the ball didn't go out for ages. They were waiting on the sideline, waiting to get subbed on. If the ball hadn't gone out before full time, they wouldn't have even got a chance to be in that penalty shootout. Anyway, Southgate, the guy that missed the penalty in 1996, it's just such a weird serendipitous thing. The guy missed the penalty in 96 is the coach of England now, and then he's watching his players do the same thing. It's so
it was a curse. Little bit like, yeah, they thought that they'd broken the curse because since Southgate, they hadn't won a penalty shootout like professional, like in an international, like non-friendly game. And then in the last World Cup, they finally did. So like, oh, we've broken the curse. And then they beat Germany, which I had, again, kind of beaten in forever. Like, oh, these are the two biggest hoodoos that we've had as an English nation. We've beaten the hoodoo. We've beaten the curse. No, and again, bit of twist of irony, just ended the same way.
Yeah.
I mean, it all ended just pretty badly as well with just an abhorrent racist sort of outlet. It was just, I mean, we don't want to go too much into it, but England hasn't got a very good history, and even the way that they, I think, are post-match dealing with Italian fans, it's just gross. And it ends up just kind of highlighting how divisive I think England is when it comes to race. And it's really sad, really, really sad.
Yeah. Especially because they've been in like the Premier League and all the other leagues in Europe, and they've done it in the Euros. There's been a strong message of there's no room for racism. They've taken the knee. You know, there's been social media bans, you know, to kind of protest, and they've done a lot in the community and, you know, those responsible, but it's still such a serious issue. It's really, really disappointing.
So disappointing.
Also here, Channel 7.
Oh,
made some racist remarks, but I mean, you know, they also had Pauline Hanson on Dancing with the Stars, so what can you expect? Hey, NRL, well, is it considered NRL? It's still rugby league, doesn't matter. State of Origin, we already knew the Blues had won, but then on Wednesday night they lost, but it doesn't matter because we still won, so... Yeah.
It's the old dead rubber syndrome, right? Like only seven teams have ever done a clean sweep out of, what, 40-odd? I don't know. I really wanted us to win. I thought we should have, and we just new halves. Teddy had a terrible game. Just
Trbojevic didn't do much either. More.
Yeah, Trbojevic had a chance to win the game. He should have won the game for New South Wales, and he made this weird decision. And look, credit to Ponga. Ponga came up and was about to tackle him, and then Ponga like swerved to try and stop the pass. And Trbojevic passed it. If he didn't pass it, he was through. He was straight under the post.
Yeah, it was weird. There was a lot of that happening throughout that game, though. A lot of fumbling, a lot of weird sort of plays.
It wasn't a great game. And a lot of sixed again calls. It was like 20 of them or something crazy. It was not a great game.
It was kind of fun how tight it was. Kind of
closest
thinking,
one, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But it wasn't the nicest football to watch. It was just a bit grubby. And what's with Munster? And why is Latrell and Gagai always having a go at each other?
Yeah, so they're in the same team and they don't like each other. It's weird.
Supposedly it was a bit of a joke, but I don't know. It didn't look like a joke to me. Nah, it was pretty serious. So.
They can say that after the game, but it definitely wasn't.
Nah. Oh, yeah, anyway.
I think Gagai's a little bit niggly. Maybe Latrell is a bit too. They just
a bit. Each other.
Yeah. But don't you, did you, I don't know if you noticed at the very end of the game, there was a big biff between, I think it was Gagai and Latrell, and there's literally just like cords of them just jumping on each other. And then in the foreground, just like opposite, like the Blues and the Maroons, just like a couple of guys just shaking hands, cutting yeah. each other. Great game. Yeah. But like literally right next to them, someone's like punching each other. really highlighted, like summarized football to me.
Yeah, that is football. That is football right there. Well, okay, look, Queensland did win. So we do have to say some of their players did play quite well. You mentioned Kalen Ponga. I thought he had a good game. Yeah. Ben Hunt, you know, he scored 2 tries.
Yep.
He's the one with the head.
He was good. On. He's got a head, yep. No, number 9. He played out. Kalen Ponga is the one with the head thing. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Can someone explain to me the weird scrummy thing? Have we ever explained that? Why do you do the little weird scrummy thing?
We have definitely.
Is that a foul? I mean, a foul.
You've been watching basketball too much. It's a scrum. A scrum is like a stoppage in play they do in certain times of the game. They mean not much.
There's so many weird calls in rugby league. So stupid. yes, move on.
Yeah, well.
And now, obviously, biosecurity update. New South Wales moving all the teams up to Queensland for the foreseeable future because apparently Queensland doesn't get COVID, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'm not sure. There was a Blues who got interviewed post-match saying, oh, what are your thoughts on being moved up to Queensland for over a month? And he had no idea. And he just said, what?
So, yeah, I watched that game and it was Sean Johnson. So it was Cronulla versus whoever they played. And during that game is when the whole decision happened. So over that 2 hours, everything happened and everyone was told what was happening except for the 2 teams that were playing, obviously, because they were playing. And so they had no idea. And so they come off and they're interviewing Sean Johnson because he just won. And then, yeah, they tell him that, oh, guess what, we're going. And then
his poor little face was just pure shock. And then he was like, oh, my God. And then he was like, oh, I'm going to have to tell my whole wife and young family that, you know, what does that mean? And he looked genuinely quite upset, and it would be, it would be so rattling, like your whole life is just kind of getting thrown around and you've got a family. And I mean, it's not easy, obviously.
Yeah, not easy for everyone, but yeah, but having 2 weeks, 2 months away from your family is pretty shitty. But New Zealand did it all last year, right? New Zealand were in Australia for
exactly
6 months. So
Melbourne Storm as well, they played half the season away from home. So, and still won the grand final. So,
guys, what are your thoughts on rugby union? Will you watch it this Saturday?
Well, so Australia somehow beat France. Although France don't have a good record here, right? And so it's sort of Australia are crap, but France don't have a good record here. So winning the first game
happened.
Then they lost the second game, right?
Yes. One point or something crazy.
Yes, it was very close. Both games have been very close. And so the third game, I assume it's best of 3.
I don't know.
The research on Across the Park on 2SER is phenomenal.
Good.
Phenomenal.
At times.
I won't lie. Yes. In my script here, I do have Union and then it says Australia v France and nothing underneath it. That's where it ends.
Well, I just don't really know who watches it. Like, I genuinely just, does it have any legs anymore?
Yeah, it's, I'm not sure either. I think it's
Union fans. It is on this Saturday. Yep. Watch it. Channel 9. We've got to talk about Conor McGregor's leg.
What? Do we have to?
No.
Do we have to? If you haven't seen it, it's gross. That's all you have to know.
It's so gross. But then he gets interviewed by what's his bloody stupid man face while he's on the floor. And Conor McGregor just starts getting, your wife was in me DMs. Your wife was in me DMs. Having a go at the other guy because his wife was in his DMs. It's the most peculiar thing you've ever seen in your life.
Well, if we want to talk about crazy interviews, also Australia are playing the West Indies in a T20 series, 5 games. And Chris Gayle in game 3 had a great game. West Indies killed us. It doesn't matter. All that, we're crap. But Chris Gayle, he's 40-something now, 41, I think. He scored his first 50 in forever, in like years. And then post-match interview kept referring to himself as Chris Gayle. It was a lot of third-person talk. And then called himself the universe boss. So,
oh, I love that. Confidence. He's got a good mindset, coach.
Well, he's from the West Indies, so confidence is always going to be sky high. They're just the coolest. All right. Shall I ask one question for a game?
Yeah, if we've got time.
We don't.
Well, then don't.
No, we've always done a game. I can't find the thing. This will do.
I like it.
What was the score in this week's State of Origin final? How do you not know?
Was it 28 to 26?
No.
18-16?
No, it was 20 to 18.
What?
Oh, my God.
Unreal.
Oh, it was all that bloody penalty kick, wasn't it? Oh.
Yeah, the penalty kick. Not a single goal attempt missed throughout the whole State of Origin.
Except for the penalty kick at the end. Latrell's penalty kick.
Oh, yeah, of course.
The very last one.
Why didn't we talk about that? What was going on there? 51 metres out.
Too far, too far.
I've seen one.
Could have that.
Anyway.
We've gone way
stay
over.
Stay safe.
Okay, bye.
Stay safe, stay sporty.
Bright, 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 bright 2SER 107.3, FM, DAB, on demand, live stream, and app. 2SER 107.3 FM, DAB, on demand, live stream, and app. When I think about all the friends that have gone on missing, can I stick around like a phone in the morning with you? And I'm looking down on the world, it's a ball of confusion.
drinking, I'm just drunk.